Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Pesachim Tzadikim. Where we are 6 lines from the top of the Amud. Tana Rabbanon Elu She'oisin Es Hasheni. The following is a list of individuals who, although they missed the first Pesach, will bring the second Pesach. Hazoven v'hazoveis, various types of tmein, hamitzoroim v'hamitzorois, women mitzoroim, v'nidois, u'boyalei nidais, one who lived with hanida, v'yoldois, v'hashoigigin, v'anusin, v'hamizidin. So we have various forms of tmein, a shoigig, an anus, a mezid, v'tamei v'shahoya b'derech u'choyka. All these individuals who missed the first Pesach will go ahead and bring a Pesach Sheni. Im Kain, if that's the case, that all different types of people are included in this halacha, Lomar Nemar Tomei. Why does the Torah specifically list Tomei? The Pasuk says a person who's a Tomei or he was on the road, he missed the first Pesach, he will bring the second Pesach. Why single out Tomei if all these individuals have the same halacha? What's so special about tummy? Loma nemar? Why single out tummy? There's a special lesson in that. Di boy lemeh bad berishon lo shav kinale. The chiddush there is, even if he chooses to bring the Pesach Rishon, he'll send in the carbon. He can't come, but he'll send the carbon with someone else. We don't allow him to do that. That is the chiddush hakra. The pasuk is telling us that a tummy cannot have a carbon brought on his behalf. There's a chiddush there, and that's why the Torah singles it out. Oh, that's not a kasha. What then is the kasha? Ella, im kein lo menemar b'derech rechoika. What's the point of singling out this fellow who's out of town? As Rashi points out, if he wants, he can send this carbon to Yerushalayim, following Rav Nachman, who says that it works. So what's the point of speaking about a derech rechoika? Just say any type of person who was prevented from bringing the first Pesach will bring the second Pesach. The answer is lepoitra min akaris. Even if he does not bring the Pesach Rishon, he'll be patur from karis. Meaning, as the Mefarshim explained, even if he could have prearranged that he should be here and available for the carbon Pesach, he won't get karis. And likewise, even if he chooses not to send his carbon into the Azara, that's okay. Ukumadama Hortza. Now we're following the Shita of Nachman, who says that even a derech chayka fellow can still send in his carbon. Apparently, when the Torah speaks about derech chayka not bringing the Pesach, the Torah is not intending to tell us that he cannot send in the carbon, because he really could. Kamadama hurtza. That highlights the question: what's the chiddush of speaking about derech chayka? What's the lesson being taught here? The answer is that he's patur from karis if he doesn't bring his Pesach Rishon. Fine, so we have a comprehensive list. Tmein of various types, whether men, women, Tomei, Derech Chayka. All these fellows who didn't bring Pesach Rishon will bring Pesach Sheni. Says the Gemara, Isha b'sheni mimechayva? Do you mean to say that an Isha is fully chayv in Pesach Sheni? But Tanya, we have another braisa. Yachayl lo yehu eisen es hasheni, elo tmein nefesh. V'shahaya b'derech chayka, perhaps. Since we find these two fellows in the Pasuk, the Tamei Nefesh and the Hayyu B'derech Chayka, perhaps that indicates that the allowance to make a Pesach Sheni applies only to these two individuals. What about other types of people who couldn't bring the Pesach Rishon? Zavin, U'mitzayrayin, U'b'yalei nidos minayin. How would we know that they have the option of Pesach Sheni? Tamad Laimar Ish, Ish. At a double lashon, Ish, Ish, is including all these different types of tmein. Now, you realize the braisa only mentioned men. Zavin, mitzoyroin, boyalei nidois, and neglected to mention anything about women. In the first braisa, we included the nashim as well, giving them the ability to do Pesach Sheni. We have a stira. Loikasha, the answer is, it depends whose shita we're following. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda. Our Rabbi Yossi, the first price, which tells us that the women are also included, fully included in the Pesach Sheni option, is following Rabbi Yossi Shita. We had this earlier. back on Tzadik Aleph on Beis, various shittes regarding the chiv and noshim in Korban Pesach, Rabbi Yossi maintains that an isha is chayiv in Pesach Sheni equal to the ish. And therefore, the first brisa, which tells us that the isha is fully chayiv in Pesach Sheni, is following Rabbi Yossi. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The second brisa, which indicates that the isha doesn't really have a full-fleshed chiyuv here, it's reshus, it's optional, is following in line with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that hold that an isha is not really chayiv in Pesach Sheni. Continues the Gemara. How are we meant to view the correlation between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? Are they independent entities? Are they dependent? Are they intertwined? To what extent are the two things connected? We have three approaches. Tana Rabbanan, Chayav Koris al Rishon, V'Chayav Koris al Sheni, Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi holds a chiddush that Pesach Rishon is a separate entity from Pesach Sheni, which is a separate entity from Pesach Rishon. The two things are totally independent of each other. Is a curse applied to the first Pesach if one neglects to bring it? And likewise a curse for the second Pesach if one fails to bring it. What does this mean? It certainly doesn't mean that a person will get twice curse. So let's take a look at Rashi, off to the right. Chayev curse al Rishon, Chayev curse al Sheni. It says Rashi, Chayev curse yesh al ze, ve al ze. Certainly you can't have this apply to one person. The trick totally b'chad gavra lek. You don't have twice karas on one person. Perhaps it's referring to the chatos, which generally applies when a person commits an avera, a karas avera. If he does it b'shogeg, he brings a chatos. Is that what he means? If he fails to bring the first and second Pesach b'shogeg, he has two chatois? No, that doesn't either work. The curse with Pesach ain chayav al shigasei chatos. Although Pesach generates curse, if ignored b'mezid, but there's no chatos. This not b'krisis ha-Pesach v'amila mitzvahis asehi. Ve'in chatos bo, ela al shigigas karis shalav. Although Pesach and chatos are the only two mitzvahs asay which result in curse if ignored, if neglected. But a chatas is not part of the configuration. A chatas only applies to a shkoga of a lav. We learn this from a pasuk. So getting back to Rebbe, what's the point of twice curse? There's no twice misa and there's no chatas to begin with. The difference would be like this. Suppose he inadvertently ignored one of the Pesachs, whether the first or the second, and he deliberately ignored the other one. Now, it's irrelevant whether it was mazed on the first or the second, because they're two independent entities. Chayev. Inami, another pshat would be, Legershin is Geir ben Shnei Pesachim. Suppose he was Megair between the first and second Pesach. Although he wasn't here and available for the first Pesach, it's irrelevant. The second Pesach on its own, by its own right, will be mechayven to bring a korban. And he needs to bring Pesach Sheni. This is Rebbe's shita. Chayv koras ala rishon, v'chayv koras ala sheni. Each korban Pesach, first or second, are deemed independent of each other. There's a koras on either one, and if he was mazed on either the first or the second, it generates chorus. Rabbi Nosson Omer, continues the Gemara, Rabbi Nosson Omer, chayiv chorus al rishon, upatar al sheni. He holds that the chorus is strictly on the Pesach rishon. There's no chorus on the second one. The second one is to make up for the first one. Suppose he inadvertently missed the first one, who's a shoyging on Pesach rishon, then he brings the second one. But there is no independent chiv on the second one. So according to Rabbi Nosson, the second Pesach is actually dependent on the first. Meaning, suppose he became a ger between the first and second, he won't be chayv on the second. He has no chiv to bring the Pesach Sheni because Pesach Sheni is supplemental to the first. That's Rabbi Nosson. We have a third shita, Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya Omer. He takes it a step further. He says not only is the second Pesach dependent on the first, so only one who's chayiv the first, which triggers the chiyuv, will also have the opportunity to bring the second one, if he missed the first one for whatever reason. So not only that, but even the first Pesach is somewhat dependent on the second. Afal Arisha in the chayiv kurs. A person will not have kurs on the first, elim kein le'osas hasheni, unless he ignores the second one as well. He holds it's a two-phase process. It's a two-pronged deal. Ignoring the first Pesach generates kurs only b'tnai, on condition that he also ignores the second Pesach. Three shittas. Rabbi holds the two things are totally independent of each other. There's a chiv on the first and a separate chiv on the second. If he was a ger in between, he brings a second, despite the fact that he was never triggered with the first. The first never initiated anything for him because he was still a guy. Rabbi Nosson says no. The Karban Rishon is the primary Karban. The curse only applies to that. Of course, if he missed the first one for whatever reason, he can go ahead and be mashlim with the second one. The second one is a supplemental Karban for the first, it's a makeup Karban for the first one. But suppose his chiv was never initiated, never triggered by the first one. He wasn't around, he was a guy. He will not have a chiv for Pesach Sheni. Third shita is, let's take it a step further. Not only is the second Pesach dependent on the first, it's merely supplemental to the first, but the first Pesach is also conditional on the second. Only one who fully neglects the first and the second, he will get cursed. Vodul Tamayu, and they follow their respective shitas, the Sanya. Gershon is Gairish Nepsachim. This fellow became a ger between the two carbon Pesachs. V'chein katan shehigdol esh Nepsachim, or katan, who became bar mitzvah between the two karbanis. Despite the fact that in both these cases, the carbon Pesach didn't apply to him, chayiv lasas Pesach sheni divei Rebbe. According to Rebbe, the second is not dependent on the first. Rabbi Nosson, Omer no, kol shezokek l'rishon zokek l'sheni. One who is obligated in the first, he's likewise obligated in the second if he misses the first. Kol she'ein zokek l'rishon, ein zokek l'sheni. But a person who's exempt from the first, he's a katan, he's a goy. Even if it so happened that he arrived in time for the Pesach sheni, he will not be chayv in Pesach sheni. But my kemitzli, what's the machlik is based on? What's the formula applied here? Rebbe Savar Sheni Regel Fnei Atzmayu. According to Rebbe, the Sheni, the Karban Pesach Sheni, the Pesach Sheni, is a separate Yom Tov, a separate entity, a separate Chiv. He was Pata on the first, but he's Chayv on the second. It's irrelevant that he was a Katan during the first Pesach or a Goy in the first Pesach. He is now Chayv in Pesach Sheni. Rebbe Nosson Savar Sheni Tashlumen the Rishon Hu. The Karban Pesach Sheni is a Tashlumen. Suppose he missed the first Pesach, he can be Mashlum with the second Pesach. But if he was not a Bar Chiyuva during the first Pesach, he was a Katan, he was an Akum, he will not have the Chiyuv and the opportunity to bring a Pesach Sheni. Sheni Tashlumen, the Rishon Hu. However, you must know that Tikkuni L'Rishon Le'maskinli. It's not that the Karban Pesach Sheni can be Masak and can rectify, can fix the Pesach Rishon. What does this mean? Suppose he was amazed. He willingly neglected Pesach Rishon. He cannot undo that. He can't fix that by bringing Pesach Sheni. That's Rabbi Nosson's approach. So if this fellow was amazing in Pesach Rishon, it's finished. He's Chayv Karas. It's not that it's conditional on also ignoring Pesach Sheni. If he was a shining in Pesach Rishon, so he's not held responsible, he's not liable, he's not Chayv Karas, then he could be Mashlam. So he gives him an option to make up with the Pesach Sheni. But if he was a mazin in Pesach Rishon, he gets cursed right then and there. It's an independent thing. He can't be masakin. He can't undo that avera by bringing Pesach Sheni. So sure, Pesach Sheni is dependent on Pesach Rishon. Only one who is Chayv and Rishon can be Chayv and Sheni. But it's not going to relate to Pesach Rishon to the extent that it could fix it up. If he was Mazin and Rishon, he can't undo that by being in the Pesach Sheni. Rabbi Chananya and Akavi Sovereign, he says, yeah, Sheni Takanta the Rishonu. The Korban Sheni is a Masakin, it's a rectification on the first one. It could fix things up. He knows that the Chiv on Pesach Rishon is dependent also on Sheni. So it works both ways. Pesach Sheni is dependent on Pesach Rishon. Only an individual who had a Chiv on Pesach Rishon, he was a Gadol, he was a Yisrael, he will also have Pesach Sheni if he missed Pesach Rishon. If he was a Ger in between Pesach Rishon and Sheni, or Bar Mitzvah in between, he won't have Pesach Sheni, because Pesach Sheni is dependent on Pesach Rishon. There's only one curse on Pesach Rishon. If you don't have Pesach Rishon, you never had a trigger to initiate the Chiv. So in that sense, he holds like Rabbi Nassim. But he takes it a step further. Not only is Pesach Sheni dependent on Pesach Rishon is also somewhat dependent on Pesach Sheni. If he neglects Pesach Rishon, he's not yet Chayiv. Wait and see. Until he also neglects Pesach Sheni. Because Rishon and Sheni are two phases of the same process, two prongs in this deal. So we have three shittas. Rabbi holds Rishon and Sheni are independent of each other. Rabbi Nassim says the second is dependent on the first. Rabbi Chananya Akavi says, just as the second is dependent on the first in a way is also dependent on the second. And the Isser, the Einish, only arrives if both are neglected. U'shloshta mikra echad darshu, all three are based on the same pasuk. Va'isha shehu tor, u'b'derech lo'yhoya, and the pasuk continues. V'chada lasas ha-pesach, v'nichrsa ha-nefeshahi, Me'amea. The pasuk concludes, Ki korban Hashem lehikruv b'mayadoi, cheta yisa ha-yishav. We have three ways to dash in the pasuk. Rabbi Sovar, v'chada lasas ha-pesach v'nichrsa, doli avid b'rishon. The first portion of the pasuk is referring to Pesach Rishon, a fellow who was a tar, he wasn't on the road, he failed to bring the Pesach Rishon, he gets cursed. We're speaking about a fellow who neglected the first Pesach, the Le'avad Barishon. So we have one chorus for Pesach Rishon. Inami! Alternatively, this is the next part of the Pasuk, discussing Pesach Sheni. Ki korban Hashem le'yikir v'mayadoy cheta yisa ha'ishav. That's the words of the Pasuk. Says Rebbe, ki korban Hashem le'yikir v'mayadoy is a reference not to Pesach Rishon, rather to Pesach Sheni. And the word ki, we know, can have many meanings. In this case, Rashi explains, ki is not a reason, rather it begins a new phase, a new part of the pasuk, a new context. If, ki is if. Not only didn't it bring the first Pesach, but if he didn't bring the second Pesach, that too could generate curses. Inami, alternatively, korban Hashem le'ikr b'miyadoi, but Sheni, this is in reference to Pesach Sheni. This as well can generate curse. As the pasuk concludes, Cheta Yisa Ha'ishav. So according to Rebbe, this curse applied to the first and also to the second, independent of each other. Let's take a look at Rashi. Five lines from the bottom of the Yamad. Inami Korban Hashem Le'ikrav. Explains Rashi. Ki Korban Hashem, the word ki, can have many meanings. Dechi Meshamesh Ba'ar B'Lashonis, as four possible translations. In this case, v'zeh b'loshen idar shinali, we interpret it as e. If v'loy koy adil el menei, it's not a reference to the first part of the pasuk, to Pesach Rishon, l'frushit time l'masal kamaisa, to explain why is he getting cards for Pesach Rishon because he didn't bring it. No, ki is begins a new discussion. So instead of because, meaning a reason, why is he getting cursed for Pesach Rishon? Ki because, k'maloshon daha. No, that's not what it means. El milsa achriti begins a new discussion. Ki here begins a new discussion. The pasuk begins referring to Pesach Rishon. That's one curse. Ki karban Hashem leikiv miyadai, that's Pesach Sheni. If he wasn't makir Pesach Sheni miyadai, what happens? Cheta yisa aisho, he also gets cursed. Says the Gemara on the bottom line, Uimai, the high cheta yisa curse. How would you know that cheta yisa is cursed? The answer is, we apply egzer shava. Kesavar, this Tana holds, Megadev hainu mevarach Hashem. There's a pasuk in Bamidbar, which tells us that a megadev, two interpretations for the word megadev. It could either mean one who is mevarach Hashem. There's a euphemism, of course. It means klola, the opposite of bracha. And the pasuk there says that it's curse. So one pasuk speaks about megadev getting curse. There's another pasuk in Vayikra, Chumash Vayikra, ish ki yikalel elikav v'nasa chetoy. So that pasuk has a clear reference to klola of Hashem, chas v'shalom, v'nasa chetoy. Nasa chet by klola. Now, if megadev is referring to klola, to mevarach Hashem, and megadev clearly generates karas, that pasuk of megadev speaks about karas. Apparently, the pasuk which speaks about yikal lekov v'nasa chetoy is karas, because that's the oynish from yikal. Because sofer, this Tana holds megadev. The pasuk which says megadev gets karas, haynim mevarach Hashem. Uksib b'mevarach Hashem, we find in the context of a mevarach, v'nasa chetoy. What do we see? Apparently, v'nasa chetoy is karas. Right? If Megadev is curse, and Mekalel is Venasa Chetai means curse. V'gomar hai Chetai dehocham, hai Chetai dehocham. Now, knowing that Venasa Chetai is curse, we learn the Venasa Chetai in our Pasuk by Pesach Sheni, mi Chetai dehocham. From the Chetai over there, Venasa Chetai, malahal and curse, just as over there, the consequence is curse. Afkan nami curse, here as well, it's curse. This is Shitas Rebbe. The Pasuk here makes a double reference to Karas, one for Pesach Rishon, one for Pesach Sheni, and the two things are dependent of each other. Rabbi Nosson Savar, the Pasuk only applies Karas to Pesach Rishon. That's the primary liability, Pesach Rishon. He knows that Pesach Sheni is dependent on Rishon. It's not a separate entity, no separate Karas for Pesach Sheni. Why? Because he dashes the Pasuk a bit differently. V'chadal lasas haPesach v'nichrusa. That's how the pasuk begins. If one fails to bring Pesach Rishon, he gets karas. Now, when the pasuk continues, ki karban Hashem leikiv miyadai, he learns ki is a reason, a niasina astam. Why? Why is he getting karas for Pesach Rishon? Because he failed to bring the karban. The haiki lashon deho. Because this is the reason. This is the pasuk. The ha korban Hashem leikiv miyadai b'rishon. Why do I give him curse for failing to bring the korban? Because the ha ki means the ha, because he failed to bring the korban at the right time b'rishon, during the time of Pesach Rishon. There's only one curse for Pesach Rishon. Pesach Sheni is a tashlumen. If you miss the first, bring the second. But suppose he never was chayiv in the first, he was a katan. He will not get cursed for failing to bring Pesach Sheni. Hai cheta yisa may avidle. Now, according to Rabbi Nosson, the pasuk concludes, he's getting cursed because he missed the Pesach Rishon. Cheta yisa hayisho. It sounds repetitive. You're giving him a chet, you're giving a einish. What's the point of discussing that? You just applied cursed to this fellow. So according to Rabbi, the second part of the pasuk was in reference to Pesach Sheni. But according to Rabbi Nosson, there's no curse for Pesach Sheni. So what's the repetition? Says the Gemara, we're learning a halacha regarding elsewhere. Kesavar megadev lav haynu mevarach Hashem. Rabbi Nosson holds, in contrast to Rabbi, Rabbi Nosson holds that when the pasuk says megadev gets curse, megadev doesn't mean mevarach Hashem. Rather, as Rashi says, it's somebody engages in some form of interacting with Avodah Zarah, Mezamer, Mesher, Avodah Zarah. So Megadif, who generates Koritz, has nothing to do with Mekalas Hashem. Now we're left with the Pasuk, which says, Ishki Kala Ilika V'Nasacheta. The consequence for Mekalas Hashem is Nasacheta. What does Nasacheta mean? We have no clue. We have no mucker that Mevarach Hashem gets Koritz because Megadif is a different activity. So how would we know what the definition of Nasacheta by Mekalas Hashem is? How do you know what that means? We learn it from here. Kesav Megadif love Hayne Mevarach Hashem, v'gomar Hayecheta Dehasa, Hayecheta Deyacha. So going to that pasuk, ki kalu lekov v'nasa chetay, we're trying to figure out what is the consequence, what is the oinish for klala, what does v'nasa chetay mean? We derive from our pasuk, v'gomar Hayecheta Dehasa, Hayecheta Deyacha. We learn the definition of chetay over there by klilas Hashem, from the V'nasa chetai over here by Pesach, ma'acha koris, just as the words v'nasa chetai in our context is referring to koris. That's what the Pasuk is speaking about. One who neglects the Pesach brings koris, gets koris, avhasam koris. Now likewise the Mekalas Hashem generates koris. So it's come to teach us a side point. But of course, Rabbi Nosson holds that this pasuk is strictly speaking about Pesach Rishon, and Koris is only applied in that sense. The third sheet is Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya Savar Yolz, similar to Rabbi Nosson, V'chodah lasis haPesach v'nichrusa, that the Koris applies to Pesach Rishon. Now, when the pasuk says Ki Korban Hashem leikiv mi'adoi, Ki means if. So in this sense, he's similar to Rebbe. Ki is not a reason. It's not because. Why is he getting cursed Pesach Rishon? Because he didn't bring the Pesach b'mayade. No. Ki is like Rebbe Darshan Ki. It's a new thing. It means if. What does the Pesach mean? Cursed for failing to bring the Pesach Rishon only applies if there's a condition here. If he also neglected to bring Pesach Sheni. Because according to this Shita, the Chiv curse on Pesach Rishon is dependent on failing to bring Pesach Sheni as well. V'chod alasla Pesach v'nichrusa, he gets cursed for failing to bring Pesach Rishon, if Korban Hashem l'yikir v'mayadeh b'sheni. The Koris on Pesach Rishon is conditional upon failing to bring Pesach Shem. V'aychata Yisam Ayavad Le. Now the same kasha we had on Rav Nosson, we have on Chananya. There's really only one Koris upon Pesach Rishon, because according to Chananya as well, it's not a separate entity. Suppose he was a katan during Pesach Rishon, he won't have a Koris of Pesach Shem. There's no Chiv on Pesach Sheni without Pesach Rishon. If that's the case, why repeat Cheta Yisa Aishahu? We already have Koris in this pasuk. My Avalei, what does he apply for Kedamar? As we just mentioned, to teach us another halacha altogether, that the Mekal Hashem gets Koris. So in conclusion, we have three shitas. Rabbi holds Pesach Rishon gets its own Koris, Pesach Sheni its own Koris, the two separate independent entities. Quote Rabbi Nosson, Koris only applies to Pesach Rishon. Pesach Sheni is merely a supplemental concept. It's coming to be mashed on Pesach Rishon. If you missed out Pesach Rishon, make it up with Pesach Sheni. But if he wasn't available for Pesach Rishon, he was a kata, in which case the entire concept of Pesach wasn't triggered by him, didn't descend on him. Come Pesach Sheni, he has no chiv, because Sheni depends on Rishon. Rechananim and Akavya holds, not only does Pesach Sheni depend on Rishon, like Rabbi Nosson said, but he takes it a step further. The Chiv on Pesach Rishon is only culminated if he also neglects Pesach Sheni. It's conditional on Pesach Sheni as well. So just as Pesach Sheni is dependent on Pesach Rishon, there's no Chiv of Sheni if there's no Chiv on Rishon, to a certain extent Rishon is also dependent on Sheni. Because the Isser, the Chiv, the Oynish, is only generated when both Pesachim are ignored. Concludes the Gemara. Let's have some situations. The Gemara is going to run by us some situations, trivia. Let's figure out who holds what. Hilkach. He is a bezeh or bezeh. Suppose he willingly neglected both Pesachim. Mezen on the first, Mezen on the second. Tevira kol chayiv. All agree is chayiv. Of course. Shogak bezeh or bezeh. If he was a shogak on both accounts, Tevira kol pater. Of course, all agree is pater from Karus. What about the following two cases? Now it gets tricky. His Barishan, the first Pesach, he willingly neglected. V'shogak b'sheni. Come Pesach Sheni, forgot, it was a shogig. What happens now? L'Rebbe, Ulu Rabbi Nassan, Michaivi. According to Rabbi Nassan, he's Chayiv Karus. Why? Well, according to Rabbi, it's Pashat. He missed Pesach Rishon, which has Karus. According to Rabbi Nassan as well, the Karus applies to Pesach Rishon. He missed it, he gets Karus. However, L'Rabbi Chanan ibn Akavi Potter. Why? The chiv on Pesach Rishon is conditional upon ignoring Pesach Sheni willingly. In this case, he was a shogeg on Pesach Sheni. He never completed the Yisr. Although he was a hezen in Rishon, but he has to wait. We have to wait for further developments to see what happens Pesach Sheni. But he was a shogeg on Pesach Sheni. And since he didn't willingly neglect, it wasn't amazing on both accounts, he never completed the aver, and he's potter. What about in the reverse? Shogeg b'rishon, kam Pesach Rishon, he forgot, it was a shogeg. V'hizet b'sheni, but kam Pesach Sheni, he was amazed, he willingly neglected. What happens now? L'Rebbe Chayev, going to Rebbe who holds that Sheni isn't dependent on Rishon, Rishon is wanting, Sheni is something else. In this case, he was amazed on Sheni. The Pesach Sheni, by its own right, generates its own chiv, he gets cursed. However, the Rabbi Nassim, who says that Karis is strictly to Rishon. In this case, he was a Shogeg Rishon. His potter. The Rabbi Chanan ibn Akavya, who says that there's only a Karis on the Rishon. If he was a Shogeg Rishon, despite the fact that he was a Mezid B'Shein, he's not Chayev. He agrees to the concept of Rav Nassim that the curse only applies to the Rishon. If there was a Mezen Rishon, this curse. He takes it a step further. You need also the Hezid on the Sheni to complete the package. But in principle, he holds that the curse is only on Pesach Rishon. Right? Because both Rabbi Nassim and Chanani learned the Pasuk in similar fashion. There's only one curse on Pesach Rishon. Unlike Rebbe, who says the Pasuk is meant to be split into two. There's a curse on the Rishon, a curse on the Sheni. They disagree. And since in this case, there's no karas on the Rishon. He was a shogeg Rishon. Potter. In conclusion, we have three shittes. Rebbe, who says Rishon and Sheni are separate entities. Rebbe Nassim, who says the Sheni is a tashlumen on the Rishon. There's only karas on the Rishon. The second is merely coming to supplement and to make up for the Rishon if missed. Rebbe Chanan Makavi says not only is the second dependent on the first, but the second can actually make up for the first, meaning the chiv on the first is not completed until he neglects the second one as well. It's a two-phase process. Now, various cases. Let's see how it pans out. If he was amazed at Barishan and Bashani, all agrees chayiv. Shogeg in both accounts, all agrees potter. Amazed Barishan, shogeg Bashani, going to Rabbi is chayiv because of the Rishan. Rabbi Nassim as well holds him accountable because of the Rishan. Rabbi Hanani, however, says no. He didn't complete the process. He was a shogeg b'sheni. He's not chayiv. Now, if he was a shogeg b'rishon and made it b'sheni, only according to Rebbe is chayiv. Rebbe holds that the Pesach Sheni has its own identity, can generate its own curse. Therefore, it's chayiv. Whereas according to the other shittas, it's potter because the curse is directed specifically at Pesach Rishon. In this case, he was a shogeg on Pesach Rishon. Therefore, it's potter. If he was a katan during the first Pesach and became a gadol come Pesach Sheni, going to Rabbi Yischaiv, because Pesach Sheni is a mechaiv on its own right, whereas according to the other sheet, it's his potter, because nothing triggered his chiyuv. Pesach Rishon is the primary Mechayim. He was a Kohen during Pesach Rishon, therefore he is Patur. Continues the Mishnah, Eizoi hi derech rechoka. We speak about a fellow who's on the road. He can't bring his carbon Pesach. What is considered derech rechoka? Where is he located? Min ha-moedim v'lachutz. This fellow is situated from Moedim. Moedim was a town, the outskirts of Yerushalayim. The Gemara tells us it was 15 mil outside Yerushalayim. A mil is 2,000 amo. So if this fellow is located from the point of Moedim outward and beyond, that is considered derech rechoka and is exempt from the Pesach. Ukimi dosa l'chol ruach. And the same type of distance in all directions outside Yerushalayim. So if you draw a circle around Yerushalayim with the midpoint being Yerushalayim, if the circumference, the circle around is 15 mil away from Yerushalayim, that is considered the range of Derech Rechoka, from there and beyond. Divi Rabbi Akiva, who says that Derech Rechoka needs to be at a distance. Rabbi Lezer, he says a chiddush, Meiskupas ha'azora v'lachutz. Even if this fellow is close by, he's just right outside the threshold of the azora, that is already considered Derech Rechoka, and he's potter. Omar lei, or Omar without the lei, Omar Rabbi Yesi, lefichach, Nokud al-hei. That's why you find something interesting in the Torah. There's a dot on top of the hey of the word rechoka. A dot is meant to minimize. It takes away from the meaning of the word. And the reason why there's a dot on top of hey, loymar, to indicate loy mepnei sherochek vadei. Der rechoka doesn't mean literally he's far away. Elo meyuskupa sa'azor of lachutz, rather, he's simply right outside the threshold. That is already considered somewhat derech rechoka. He's not in the mokim shchita, and therefore he's pater. Interesting that the Rashash says the remez of the hay, he's outside the azora, the wall of the azora was 5 amos wide. So he's outside the interior of the azora. He's 5 amos beyond that. He's outside the wall of the Azor, that is already considered Derech Rechoka. So that's the point of the dot being on top of the hay to indicate that even that's considered Derech Rechoka. Omar Ula, how far is Moedim from Yerushalayim? Min ha-Moedim li-Yerushalayim, chamisha asar milen havya. 15 mil. Why? The point here is, as Rashi explains, the point is that, according to Ula, what is considered Derech Rechoka? If a fellow cannot be available in the Azara during the Makam Shechita, so at Chatzos, which is the first point of the Shechita, he is far away, he's too far, he's out of range, he cannot even arrive any time during the Zman Shechita, which extends until Shkia, which is the deadline for Shechita. If he's too far gone, he can't even come back any time through the Zman Shechita, that's called Derech Rechoka. He's unavailable for Shechita. Therefore, it makes sense that a Moedim should be 15 mil away. Therefore, at the point of Chatzos, when he's 15 mil away, since he cannot be available, he can't show up before Shkia Sachama, because that's how long it takes to arrive from Moedim. It takes a half a day to walk 15 mil. This fellow is called B'derech Rechoka. So it all fits together. Savalok Yehuda Omar Rabba Bar Rachana Omar Rabbi Yechon. He holds like this presentation of Rabbi Rachana, who said, Kama Mahalach Adam Beinani Biyoim. How far does an average, how much can an average person walk Biyoim? Now, what type of day? Rashi says we're speaking about an average day, actually an equal day. Tkufas Nisan Atishrei during by the equinox area where the day and night are equal. So how much can a person walk throughout a day? Asara parsois, 10 parsa, parsa is 4 mil. So you have a total of 40 mil. That's how much you can walk throughout a day. Now let's break it down. Malois ha-shachar v'adanetz ha-chama, 15 mil. From Alois till Nates, he's going to walk 5 mil. So you have to deduct 5. Meshkiyas ha-chama v'atzeis ha-kechavim, another chameshes milin. So how much is left? Poshula tlosin. From the original 40 mil, you have only 30 left, which is going to walk from Netzachama, from actual sunrise, until Lishkiya Sachama. Chamesa mitzafra lepalga diyoyma, split into two. 15 of those 30 will cover morning till Chatzois. V'chamesa, and the remainder, the other 15, mipalga diyoyma l'urta. He will walk from Chatzois until nightfall, until Shkia. Therefore, if during Chatzos this fellow is 15 mil away, he's at Modim or beyond, he's unavailable for Karban Pesach. He can't arrive back during the Zman Shechita. By the time he shows up, it's Shkia. That's why he's considered Derech Ruchek. Ulo L'tameh, Ulo is in line with his approach. Damar Ulo, Eizehu Derech Ruchek. What constitutes Derech Ruchek? Kol Shein Yochel Yikonis B'Shah Shechita. If he's unavailable for Shechita, he cannot be present in the Azorah during the Shas Shechita. Omar, we just said, Ma'alei Sashachar Adanei Sacham Chameshas Milim. How do we know that? Menola. Techsiv Uchmei Sashachar Allah. This was in Stoim. As soon as Alei Sashachar arrived, Vayitzo Malachim, the Malachim hurried late to get him out of the area, to save him. Uksiv Hashem Hashetz Alaret. By the time the sun rose, Neitzacham, Veloit Bot Tsoyara, he arrived in the town of Tsoyar. From Alois till Neitz, he was walking, and that's how long it took him to get from Sidoim to Tsoyar. Now, how far is Tsoyar from Sidoim? Vomer Bchanina. Ledidichazili Hawa Asra. I took a look at that area. Vahavi Chamisha Milan. It's exactly 5 mil. So the formula works. Gufa, we just said, Amar Ula, Ezehu Derech Ruchayka. How do we define Derech Ruchayka? Kol She'en Yochalikonis B'Shah Shechita. If he's unavailable for Shechita. He's too far gone, he can't be present in the Azara during the Shechit. For Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he has a different definition. Kol she'in yochel likonis bish'as achila. Even if this fellow cannot arrive in time for the Shechit, but he can show up in time for achila, anytime throughout the night, according to Shitas Rabbana, that Pesach can be eaten throughout the night, or according to Blazer, to Chatzos, as long as he's available for achila, that's okay. Tosfos explains that apparently Rabbi Yehuda held that Medim, which is the range mentioned in the Mishnah, is a bit further than Ula's approach to Medim. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, a fellow who is in Medim during Chatzos, the Zman Shechita, the initiation of Zman Shechita, apparently can't make it back even in time for nighttime, for the Zman Achila. He'll get very close to Yerushalayim, but a bit outside Yerushalayim, beyond the Tchum, which will no longer allow him to enter Yerushalayim. If he's outside the Tchum when nighttime arrives, he must remain in his place. He cannot surface back in Yerushalayim for the Zman Achila. So that's the criteria on according to Rabbi Yehuda. If you're not available for Achila, that's called Derech Ruchek. According to Ula, the Zman Shechita determines, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Zman Achila. Amulei Rabbi Ula. I have a problem here. Lididach Kasha. I have a Kasha on Yoshita. Rabbi Yehuda Kasha. Likewise, a Kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. Lididach Kasha. My Kasha on you is like this. We seem to have some sort of inconsistency here. You say, the Amris, Kol She'en Yochal Likonis B'Shah Shechita. Derech Ruchayka means he's unavailable for the Shechita. Shechita is the determinant. V'ha, Tomei Sheretz. Then Yochal Likonis B'Shah Shechita. We have a case of a person who became Tomei through a Sheretz. It's Erev Pesach. He cannot arrive in the Azura until the day is over. He had the Tefillah, the Erev Shemesh. He can't come in during Shechita. He's unavailable to participate in the Shechita. And still and all, you say, you yourself said, V'ka Amris, we had this earlier on Daf Tzadik, that Ula held, Shoichtem V'zerk not me Sheretz. There's nothing wrong with bringing a carbon on his behalf. Despite the fact that he's unavailable for Shechita. And here you tell me that a fellow who is out of town and is unavailable for Shechita prevents him from bringing the carbon. He can't even send him a carbon. Why that discrepancy between Tame and their Chayke, which seems to be more Chamer than Tame? That's one Kasha. Ul Rav Yehuda Kasha, my Kasha and Rav Yehuda is as follows. There as well we find an inconsistency. How do we define a fellow who's out of town, derech rechoyka, he cannot resurface for the zman achila? We see that the shas achila is the criterion. However, when it comes to tmei sheretz, who can perfectly well participate in the achila? He goes to the mikvah, he waits for Erev Shemesh, and tonight he's available. And when is Rav Yehuda hold? This is back on Daf Tzamach Tes. He says, "Ein shoychim v'zerachon tmei sheretz. You can't bring a carbon on his behalf. How does this work? Why would a tamei be more chomer than a derech rechoyka?" Amar leir, Ula responds, "Loy le didik kasha, v'loy le Rav Yehuda kasha. This is not a kasha on me or Rav Yehuda. There's a big difference between the two things. Lididilei kasha, on me there's no kasha. Why is a derech rechoyka, why does it appear that a derech rechoyka is more severe? Derech rechoyka l'tor. When the Torah exempts a fellow who's on the road, it's because he can't do the karban. He can't be available for the shechita." As Rashi explains, we find that pasuk connects the two things. If a fellow is not on the road, and he could have done his Pesach, he gets karas. That indicates that the two things are connected and related to each other. If he is on the road and he's unavailable for the asiyah of his Pesach, then he's potter. So derech rechoyka is specific to a tar. The reason why the tar is potter because he's on the road. He's out of range during the asiyah of the Pesach. Ve'ein derech rechoyka l'tamei. But when it comes to a tamei, the reason why he's potter is unrelated to the fact that he's not around, he's not available to bring his Pesach. Rather, as Rashi explains, it's because he's unavailable for the Achila. But if this Tamei can arrange to be around for the Achila, such as by a Tmei Sheretz or a Tmei Meis on his seventh day, you can bring a Karban Pesach on his behalf. Therefore, says Ula, two things aren't connected. Each one has its own parameters, its own guidelines. Derech Rechoyka is dependent upon his availability during the Shas Shechita, whereas by Tamei, it depends on his availability during the Achila. That explains my shit. Furthermore, the Rav Yehuda Lekasha, the Kasha on Rav Yehuda also can be answered in similar fashion. Rav Yehuda says that when it comes to Derech Rechoyka, as long as he can return for the Achila, that's enough. As opposed to a Tamei, even if he can arrange to be available for the Shas Achila, we don't allow him to have a carbon. Why is Tamei Mochamer? Like Kasha, the answer is like this. Tamei Sheretz, Rachmana Dachye. The Torah pushed him away. This fellow has something wrong with him. He's a Tamei. Tichsiv Ish Ish, Ki Yeh Tamei L'Nefesh. The Pasuk says, a fellow who is Tamei L'Nefesh, Tamei Meis, he cannot bring Pesach Rishon. Now, what stage of his tumah is he? He has a 7-day tumah. Mila yaskinan, aren't we speaking perhaps even shechal shvi shaloi liyos be'erev pesach? Even if his 7th and final day of tumah happens to fall on erev pesach, in which case he can be perfectly available for the achila tonight, and still afilu achi amar rachmana litchi, he can't bring pesach rishon. He's pushed off to pesach sheni. Apparently, even if somebody who can have the Pesach tonight cannot have a Pesach brought on his behalf. He's a tummy, he's unfit during the Shas HaKrava. Therefore, Kanta Bida, there's no kasha here between tummy and Derech Rechoyka. A tummy is different than a tzor who happens to be on the road. We're over there, we reckon with the Shas Achila. Are you available for the Achila? Then you're okay. But a tummy who's deficient on account of his own self. He's something wrong. He's a tame. He's not right for the akrava. In that case, even if he could arrange things in a way which will make him available for the achila tonight, he is excluded from the Karban Pesach. So in conclusion, we have Ula, we have Rabbi Yehuda. According to Ula, when it comes to Derech Rechoyka, The Shah Shchita is the criterion. If he cannot resurface for the Shah Shchita, he's unavailable for the Akrova, that's called Derech Rechoika. Because the Torah connects the two things. He's beyond range during the Shah Shchita. Whereas when it comes to the Tamei, he sells only a Tamei Mace on his first, second, fourth, all the way to the sixth day is pushed away from Pesach. A Tamei Mace. But if it's on a seventh day or a Tamei Sheretz, in which case he's available for the Achila tonight, then he can have a Karban. Rabbi Yehuda takes a different approach. When it comes to Derech Rechoika, he says, that depends on the Shas Achila. If you can arrive, at least can arrive in time for Achila, that's okay. Whereas when it comes to Tumah, that's more severe. This fellow's a Tamei. A Torah specifically was Doichem from Karban. Even a Tamei Sheretz, who can be available for Achila tonight. But since during the Shas Karban he's Tamei, we cannot be makir a Karban on his behalf. Let's make a quick chazar of today's daf. We began with a list of various fellows who didn't bring Pesach Rishon, will bring Pesach Sheni, regarding the pasuk that singles out Tomei and Derech Rechoika. We learned that there's a lesson in each. Tomei teaches us that even if he could send his karmen to the Beis HaMikdash and have it be brought on his behalf, it doesn't work because he's a Tomei. Derech Rechoika is coming to tell us that he's not held accountable if he's on the road, despite the fact that perhaps he could have arranged things otherwise, perhaps he could even send it his karban, his pater from karas. We proceeded with a discussion regarding the Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni interaction. We have three sheets. Rabbi says each one is a separate entity and not dependent on each other. According to Rabbi Nassim, karas applies only on the first. The second one is dependent on the first. If he missed the first, b'shogeg, he can make it up with the second. Rabbi Chananel Akavi says, even the chiv on the first is conditional upon neglecting the second one. We learned about Derech Rechoika. The Mishnah says, the range is Moedim and beyond. According to Rabbi Lezer, as soon as he's outside the Azara, that's called Derech Rechoika. Now getting back to Moedim, we have two opinions. Ula says, he's too far to allow him to resurface in the Beis HaMikdash during the Shas Shchita. Rabita says, he's beyond range to allow him to come back during the Shas Achila. So according to Ula, Derech Rechoika depends on Shas Shchita, according to Rabbi Yehuda, on the Shas Achila. And we concluded with the Halacha of the Tomei. According to Ula, if he's available for Achila tonight, like a Tomei Sheretz, he can have a Karban Pesach brought on his behalf. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a Tomei Sheretz is inherently deficient, he's a Tomei, and we see clearly that Torah is Doichem from Pesach Rishon. Be well and Hatzlacha Rabbah.